Santorum and Bachman are right about that. I don't know.
Hey,
they're just another agency.
There's a whole bunch of people that say that Kane is right. Mm-hmm. And let's. And mm-hmm. I know I defend Kane a lot because I really like the guy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But let's be real here. The policy centers and experts you see speaking on stuff nowadays are never coming in without an agenda. And the one you're mentioning there, the Tax Policy Center, has a left-wing agenda.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Objective? No.
Yes.
Nobody is anymore.
Boy, you are cynical, aren't
and the
you?
More I look at this 999 thing, at first I thought, okay, it's a cute campaign thing, but the more I look at it, the more I like it.
Okay, well, look at this then.
We need a complete revamping of the system.
Look at this. Kane, in his own words in Detroit, said that he has looked at it again and that he's decided that what it will be is 909. He's changed his mind. Which is okay.
It's not
exactly
a change of mind, because even in his original plan, if you read it, he says that there will be enterprise zones like the city of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And opportunity zones.
Opportunity zones, is what he calls them.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't really clear what he would do in those, when that's what he's decided.
And he didn't say what zones they would
right.
be. But he's got a plan, and then he's got a backup plan. But ain't 999.
What he's right about,
nine.
And let's be honest, he's right flat about tax. The whole system needs to be trashed and we need to do something different. Because right
absolutely
now,
true.
Nobody considers it to be fair. Everybody's pretty sure somebody else has got a better deal and that we all should have the same deal.
Okay, Romney claimed that Massachusetts' health care plan doesn't have a government insurance plan. But in fact, his plan expanded Medicaid and it relies on state federal government programs to cover many of the states previously insured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perrin Romney clashed on job creation. That's when they started the...
Yeah.
And Romney even reached over and touched Perrin.
I know. What's that all about?
I thought, oh my gosh, if that finger was out, I'm pointing things.
I saw
we
the
have a
video
little fight
that.
There. Would that be
Do you remember
be
when Al Gore tried to intimidate George Bush?
Because
Al Gore's like 50 feet high and,
I know, and Bush
weighs 5,000 pounds.
He puffed up his chest and... Looked like a little
Gore
bulldog.
Walked over to him like he was going to beat him
something.
Into a pulp or something.
And he looked up like it was God standing there. No. Also, Perry accused Romney of hiring illegal immigrants, to which Romney said, I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life.
Right.
I don't think.
That's just nonsense.
Ask
Why
my
are we
wife.
Talking about this?
Santorum and Perry were both off base in claiming that Romney once touted his Massachusetts plan as a model for the nation. He didn't. He said it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessarily right for all states. So it was kind of a poopy debate, I thought. How long is your common sense? You ready? Let's get into that.
You think there's time?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, let's have JP's moment of common sense. Moment of silence, please.
Muammar Mohammed Abu Minyar al-Gaddafi, Libya's head of state since 1969, was captured Thursday and almost immediately executed by the crowd of rebels that captured him. I don't know how I feel about that. To the extent that my country, the United States of America, helped make this happen, I'm uncomfortable. And let's face it, the success of Libya's rebellion is entirely our doing. We bought it and we paid for it. Our primary NATO ally, Great Britain, only had about 3 cruise missiles in its quiver when the bombing of Libya started. It's nothing but a convenient fiction for President Obama to claim this was a NATO operation. It was our bombs, mostly our planes dropping the bombs, and our cruise missiles. Now that it's a done deal, we've learned that the rebels are being led by Al-Qaeda, so as far as Islamic terrorism is concerned, things just got worse. Next door in Egypt, they have the same kind of mess. The Muslim Brotherhood is coming out on top there after the United States turned its back on Hosni Mubarak. Mubarak, like Gaddafi, was a dictator, but he was also as close to being an ally of the United States as any Muslim Middle Eastern leader can be. If you don't know what the Muslim Brotherhood is, it's the precursor and philosophical father of Al-Qaeda. For the last couple months, now that Mubarak is gone and the Muslim Brotherhood is in charge, mobs of Muslims have been attacking and killing the Coptic Christian minority. There were about 8 million Christians in Egypt when this rebellion started. I expect there will be fewer than 1 million in 5 years. They'll either leave or be killed. That's the way it works when Muslims start instituting Sharia. There's no debate about what kind of man Gaddafi was, and it's accurate to say that he was evil, foolish, and mad. It's easy to say he deserved to die until you watch the video of that mob of nutcases shouting, God is great, while shooting an old man in the head on a dusty road. There's something dark and satanic about saying God is great while shooting somebody in the head, and it makes me very uneasy to think that my money and my country made this happen. If they had an independent rebellion in Libya that ended with the death of Gaddafi, I wouldn't give it much thought beyond he reaped what he sowed. But the fact that we did it, that gives me pause. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was outrage when Americans learned that the CIA was engaging in assassination of foreign leaders. There was so much outrage and so many investigations by Congress that President Gerald Ford signed Executive Order 11905 in 1976, which says, quote, "No employee of the United States government shall engage in or conspire to engage in political assassination," unquote. That means our government is not allowed to kill a foreign leader. More importantly, it means our government can't work with anybody else to kill a foreign leader. But isn't that what just happened in Libya? Beyond the legality of our participation in the overthrow of Libya's government, I'm uncomfortable with the whole notion of remote control war. I simply don't like the way my country is sending bombs to every corner of the world, killing people from thousands of miles away, from comfortable military boardrooms in Washington, D.C., and from drone-controlling computer rooms in Nevada. The technology geek in me says, isn't it cool that they can fly drones over Afghanistan from right here in Nevada? But the moral watchdog who sits on my shoulder, whispering in my ear, isn't so thrilled. When you're at war with somebody, that's one thing, but this is something different. There is something cold and dishonorable about what we're doing now, and it doesn't matter how much you dress it up with justifications and excuses. In addition to what we've been doing in Libya, we've got drones dropping bombs in Somalia, troops and drones operating in Yemen, and now we're putting troops on the ground in Uganda to direct cruise missiles and bombs on the heads of whoever earned our censure in Africa. God knows what else we don't even know about. Where does it end? People say the debate is about whether the United States should be the world's policeman, but we aren't policing anything. We're dropping bombs and killing people from half a world away, according to the political whims of a few people in Washington. Personally, I don't want us to be that country. And what's more, I think sooner or later, the reaping what you sow thing will turn around and bite us in the ass. That's just common sense.
Heavy-duty stuff, JP. Thank you for that. Coming up in our next hour, Rich Crombie will be here to talk about the Governor's Ball, a charity event this year. And this month is Breast Cancer Month, so in our Better Living segment, you'll hear more on that. You're listening to KBZZ Reno Sparks, an Americom broadcasting station. This is Broadview.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. Now that Muammar Gaddafi's dead, Libya is trying to reorganize itself. The country's ruling National Transitional Council says it plans to declare the country's liberation tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer says new leaders are apparently ready for Muammar Gaddafi's body to be buried after putting it on public display.
Libya's interim government has confirmed it has handed Gaddafi's body back to his family. But it's made it clear that the grave will have to be discreet or maybe even secret because it doesn't want his burial ground to become a rallying point for any kind of violent insurgency.
The National Council has said it'll hold elections for a constitutional assembly within 8 months of the declaration, then organize parliamentary and presidential elections within a year after that. After 50 years of dictatorship, followed by the so-called Arab Spring, Tunisians are heading to the polls tomorrow. CBS News reporter Amy Gutman's in Tunis.
On the eve of the election, Tunisians are embracing the right to vote, though many are cautiously concerned about Islamic conservative party Nahda, expected to win a third of the vote. People here have enjoyed a progressive society for decades with equal women's rights and a strong emphasis on education. And this intellectual constituency wants more rights, not less.
Leaders of the Islamist party say unfair elections could lead to chaos in Tunisia. Iraq's prime minister acknowledges that disagreements about legal protection for U.S. soldiers scuttled months of negotiations to keep U.S. troops in Iraq beyond this year. Nouri al-Maliki says he still wants American help in training Iraqi forces to use the military equipment Baghdad's buying from the United States. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says the U.S. is not abandoning Iraq.
We want to emphasize that America will stand with our allies and friends, including Iraq, in defense of our common security and interests.
President Obama says all American combat forces will be out of Iraq by December 31st. Well, they thought it over, and now Nevada Republicans have decided to shift their presidential caucuses back to February 4th. State party leaders had set January 14th as the date for the nominating contest. CBS News Politics senior producer Carolyn Horn says this helps clear things up a little bit.
Nevada's decision today to move its caucus to February 4th likely ends the boycott of several of the candidates from Nevada. John Huntsman went so far last week as to not participate in a debate taking place in Las Vegas, saying that it was important to maintain the first-in-the-nation primary status of New Hampshire.
If it hadn't changed the day, Nevada could have lost some delegates to next year's GOP convention. An update on that latest dead satellite coming back down to Earth. German officials say pieces of it are expected to hit within the next few hours, probably not in Europe, which is about as specific as they can get. They say as many as 30 fragments weighing nearly 2 tons could crash into Earth at speeds of nearly 300 miles an hour. This is CBS News.